Good morning. Welcome to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. I got a special guest in the studio today, the head basketball coach at Cookeville High School. This is my first interview with him. Happy to have him in the house, Coach Josh Hurd. Welcome to the show, Josh.
Hey, thanks, Sam. Glad to be here.
Known each other for a long, long time, long period of time. You've been at Cookeville High School for a while and kind of had some changes along the way, so we'll talk about those. But just kind of introducing you to the folks, you know, around the area and really want to dive into young Josh. So where did you grow up?
I'm originally from Hartwell, Georgia, a small town, northeast Georgia, right on the Georgia-South Carolina border.
Now, is that Hart County?
Yes, it is Hart County.
Oh, my gosh, I didn't know that.
Yes, there is Hart County.
When I was playing at Cookeville summer camp, Hart County always came, and we played them, had some battles.
Yes, sir.
They were always very, very talented, of course.
Yes, sir. I actually remember my first experience in Cookeville was playing in high school basketball when we came up for camp. It was the first time I saw the Hooper-Evelyn Center, you know, the town of Cookeville and everything. It was in high school.
Man, that's pretty cool because you ended up coming to Tech. So we'll dive into that a little bit later about how much did that have an impact on your decision later on. That's pretty cool to think about that from a recruiting standpoint.
Indeed.
So we'll dive into that a little bit later, too. So tell me a little bit about your family at that time.
Well, I was one of those kids that, you know, we were very, very family-oriented. The only flip side of that, it wasn't a mom-dad deal. You know, my mom and dad split up, so I actually moved in with my grandparents. So me growing up from elementary school all the way up until high school, I stayed with my grandmothers on both sides, my mother's side and my dad's side. But a majority of the time I stayed with my grandmother of my mother, my mom's mom. And it was me, my grandmother, my aunt, and my cousin. We all stayed in a house. So all of my childhood memories come from me, you know, staying in a house, one bedroom, two bedroom home with my grandmother, my aunt, and my cousin.
That's interesting to me because I bring folks on the show and we talk about this all the time. And a question I like to ask, especially of coaches, is as an educator, I hear a lot of times from folks out there, man, kids have really changed. But yeah, I don't agree with that. I think what kids are growing up with has changed. You just gave me a great example. Your folks split, and you grew up with your grandparents. Thank the Lord you had them, you know, and I'm sure I know they raised you the right way.
Exactly.
But it was a different atmosphere than maybe someone who has a parent, both parents, living at home. And then I'll go a little further than that, and you can expand on it. A lot of times we're dealing with kids in coaching and in education that come up in single-parent families or in your situation living with a grandparent or somebody different. So back to that question, I don't think kids have changed so much as what they're dealing with and how they grow up has changed.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You know, I think sometimes we, as adults, we give the kids a crutch to lean on and because we want to give them that excuse by saying, you know, hey, times have changed. You know, this is the way it is now. But you're exactly right. You know, the kids have more technology. They have more avenues of reaching out to people and doing things. But as far as the way you are raised, that should not change. My family was very, very strong on discipline. And, you know, it didn't matter just because I was with my grandmother and my aunt. You know, I was still disciplined the same way as if, you know, my grandmother was my mom and my aunt was my mom. You know, so, you know, I do hear that from the kids that in the classroom, you know, some are, you know, there's a lot more foster kids now, you know.
Sure.
But even with the foster kids, you know, they have a benefit of having two adults in a home.
Right.
Most times when they get adopted but those kids that, you know, come from those single family homes and those, that stay with a grandmother or things like that, you know, those kids, you know, sometimes get more love than they would have if they were both parents.
Yeah.
So it just comes back to, you know, how you were raised by what adult you was living with.
We're talking to Coach Josh Hurd, head basketball coach out of Cookeville High School. And that's a pretty unique perspective, Josh, to talk at this particular point about, because you mentioned one thing that really stands out to me, and I know you're hardline on this with your team. and the expectations of your kids, but it's discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the key factor we're talking about here in the home is that discipline and expectation.
Yes.
You're also in a role as a teacher at Cooper High School where you probably have the opportunity to deal with some of these kids
mm-hmm.
that come from the single parent homes or no parent homes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably pretty tough for one of them to come up to you and make an excuse of this or that mm-hmm. when you actually lived it.
You know, my kids in my classroom, they've heard of certain stories that I've told them from my childhood, but they don't know, kind of what I'm sharing today, you know, in regards to me, you know, growing up with my grandmother and things like that. But just from me telling them about, you know, how you have to follow the rules, regardless of your situation, you know, I tell them that, you know, when you go out in the community, you know, the police officer is not going to say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know you didn't have but a single parent, I'll let you steal this right now.
Yeah.
You know, things like that don't happen. So regardless of the situation, they just have to follow the rules. And, you know, it's funny with my classroom, you know, I run the behavior program at Cookeville High School. So, you know, I have the kids who have, you know, special needs, you know,
sure.
In regards to discipline and academics. But my kids have gotten used to me now. You know, it's sometimes I don't even have to say anything and another student will govern another student without me even saying anything. You know, I hear it all the time when a kid may do something or say something and somebody else in the classroom will speak up. Coach Herter's not going to let you do that. Coach Herter's not going to go for that. You know, so that right there, you know, speaks volumes of, you know, the kids who are now in a role where they were the ones that were maybe breaking the rules. But now they're teaching those other kids, hey, you don't need to do this because he is not going to go for that. So they're actually setting the standards in the classroom instead of the teacher.
And it goes back to what you said in the very beginning, even with your grandma, that expectation of discipline mm-hmm. and what is expected in that home and even in your classroom,
mm-hmm.
That's kind of the guiding principle.
Yes.
You know, to not only to get kids where they need to be, but give them that security and,
mm-hmm.
and that ability
mm-hmm.
to understand that, hey, if you act – behave a certain way,
mm-hmm.
then you can have the things that you want to have.
Exactly. And I'll tell you, you know, what you're saying that with me, that is very, very big. You know, my own personal children, they've understand this. They've heard the stories. I've taken them to my hometown numerous times and I've showed them where our previous home or my childhood home, you know, was used to stand. And, you know, the things that I have done and accomplished, you know, to this point, are great, you know, and I still have many things I want to do, but coming from a small town of Hart County who's, you know, I grew up in a home that we did not have running water. I did not have both parents in a home. We had an outhouse and we had to go use the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Having to, you know, boil your own water to take a bath, stuff like that. You know, that's my childhood. So when I hear and see kids want to complain about the stuff that they have now and about why that is holding them back from doing what they need to do, you know, that goes in one ear and out the other for me, you know, because, you know, my own personal kids know that, you know, there are no excuses, you know, and my basketball teams know there are no excuses on the basketball court. You know, excuses only makes benefits for other people, you know, and not yourself. So that's what I tell them all the time. You know, we don't use the word can't on the basketball court. We don't use it in my classroom. You know, it's funny, like the kids will actually, if that word is used, that will be a player or a student yell out, "Coach don't like the word can't." Because, you know, just like, you know, like I said, just coming up the way I was brought up and, you know, me and my cousin. My cousin is very successful. He's like my brother. You know, he is a firefighter in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he went to college, played football in college down at West Georgia, was one of the sack leaders down there. He's still in the record books. You know, so me and him accomplished all these things. And coming from the background where kids nowadays or individuals nowadays may say, well, hey, this is why I can't do this because of my background or because of what I did not have. And so I was, you know, I learned early that you have to just push yourself and regardless of what you're going through, you just have to fight through it, you know, because there are no redos. There are no redos in life. I learned that and heard that from a great smart person, you know, a long, long time ago. And that right there, that one statement, that hit hard.
Yeah.
There are no redos in life, you know, and I've never heard that. I've never thought about it. But when you think about that, you know, there are no reset button at these, as you know, as these kids say, you know, they can restart a game. They can restart their cell phone and do all that stuff. But, you know, in life, once you pass, you know, your time on this earth is gone. You know, you're moving on. But so I just try to, you know, use what I've been through and what I've done in my life and my childhood and try to make sure that my kids, whoever I'm involved with, just making sure that they're going to push and give them that maximum effort.
You know, at that time, you know, when you were living with this, you probably didn't even know it was, I guess, maybe a negative thing for you, mm-hmm. but you probably didn't know it at that time because it was just life.
It was life for me, you know, and I had, you know, just growing up, like I didn't have kids spend the night over with me, you know, never thought about it. Because for us, we knew that we just couldn't do that,
right.
You know. But I did not look at it as a, like you said, as a negative. I looked at it like this is my life. Like this is what I have. This is what we have right now. And I you know, we didn't complain. We went through it, you know, and we just, you know, made the best out of it.
Well, I think it was. It's ending up being a positive. Some other folks looking from the outside in mm-hmm. might have thought that was a negative upbringing for you mm-hmm. and maybe didn't supply you with what you needed. And I would say it was quite the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
It gave you everything you needed to be exactly. the person that you turned out to be. And so what could be perceived as a negative was really a positive
exactly.
in your upbringing.
Exactly. You're exactly right.
So, Coach, we're gonna take a quick break, and we'll get right back on this conversation.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Good morning, Upper Cumberland. Welcome back to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. Again, got Coach Josh Hurd, Cookeville High School head basketball coach, in the house today, talking to him about growing up in Georgia, playing over there at Hart County. Had some good battles with them at Tennessee Tech at the team camp there. So let's get into a little bit of sports. We talked a little bit about your home life and growing up and your family there. Let's go ahead and I don't want to forget this because I get in trouble when I do. Talk about your family right now,
mm-hmm.
and to be a coach, you got to have that support system at home and a good wife
yes.
supporting you along the way. So I want to make sure
yes.
that you got the opportunity to thank and mention her.
Well, I'll tell you, my wife, you know, she's a school teacher now at Upperman Middle, Chrissy Hurd, and she is an outstanding person. My rock, as I say, you have, you know, couples that make the statement all the time, like, this is my better half, you know, she, you know, but that is truly, truly true for me. You know, she is my better half, and she met me when I was coaching middle school down in Upperman.
Mm-hmm.
So when she came aboard, I was already, you know, starting on this life, starting on this venture of being a coach. And you know, back then would have never known that it would have, you know, been the way it is now, you know, doing everything that we've done. But she jumped on board. She wasn't a big basketball person. She will tell you right now that she doesn't like basketball. She just, she comes and watches the games because I'm coaching and her sons are playing.
Even with the sons playing?
Yes.
She don't, wow.
Yes. She just, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, it is so, the intensity of it and how stressed she gets
yeah.
from watching the games, you know, she hates it. But like I said, I mean, she loves to watch the games that I'm coaching and her boys are playing. Sure. And our daughter, you know, our daughter's over at Upperman Middle, on the 7th and 8th grade team right now. So she has to put up with a lot. You know, it took me a couple of years to not bring the game home after tough losses and not playing well. And I had to learn that that was a disservice to my family because, you know, here I am upset about this game and now I'm bringing it home and yelling at my wife and yelling at my kids and in bad moves and not speaking. And, you know, that was not a good situation. So we have learned to do better by that. And I say we, I say me, you know, I do my best not to bring it home. And she is very, very supportive, you know. With basketball nowadays, you know, you have AAU and all summer. So, you know, once we start in November, you know, we are not done with basketball until July. A lot of people don't understand that. But a coach's wife, you know, she is in basketball or he is in basketball, whatever spouse may be, whoever's mm-hmm. coaching. You know, you're in basketball from November all the way until July if you're doing travel ball. So that right there, you know, was a big thing that she had to just adjust to. But like I said, you know, she, very supportive, stands by me, stands by, you know, her kids, you know, when playing well and not playing well. But, so big testament to her. Exactly.
It's really neat. I've known you for a while and, you know, your boys growing up, mm-hmm. your son's been over my house and, mm-hmm. It's a unique situation, you know, and I've seen that Bobby McWilliams and his kids, mm-hmm. they've grown up and now they're getting, you know, empty mm-hmm. nest in there. So mm-hmm. it's a little bit different experience for them. And I've had both of them on the show and talking about this very thing, but you know, I don't see you without your wife, you mm-hmm. know, you're always together.
Mm-hmm.
Seem to be a really happy couple to me and yeah. kids seem to be very happy. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you're living the life that you wanted to get to, I would think.
Yeah.
I know it's not without trouble, and mentioned and before we get into this, but you mentioned your sons.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and tell us a little bit about them and your daughter. Name them, and
yeah.
you know what grade they're in, and all that for me.
My oldest son, Josh Hurd, is a sophomore at Cookeville High School. He started last year as a freshman for us. You know, he's on the first team all district last year as a freshman. You know, great kid in the classroom. My youngest son is Jalen Hurd. He is a freshman at Cookeville High School right now. So he is getting a taste of, you know, what his big brother got last year. So we'll, you know, he's a great kid too, you know, just smart, funny. As my mom says, he's me when I was little, you know, that's what she says. And my youngest daughter is Jada Hurd. And as I mentioned earlier, she's playing basketball at Upperman this year. She was at Prescott, and then, you know, when Chrissy got the job over at Upperman Middle, you know, transition for her just to go over there and to school and just ride with mom, it made sense for her. So Jada had some friends that moved over there last year or was going to move this year, so the transition was easy for her, you know. My oldest daughter, we have a 23-year-old. It's hard to think that, but I do. You know, she just finished UGA.
Wow.
That's why I'm a big dog fan. Go Dogs.
Pretty good year to be a dog fan.
Yes, indeed. but that is my one kid that does not play any sports. You know, she makes jokes about it all the time. She was like, Dad didn't give me any of that gene, you know, any of the sports genes, you know. So, but Josh and Jalen, you know, who's, you know, in a unique situation, playing for me. I will say that I had an advantage to this because I coached them both in middle school at Prescott. You know, quiet is kept. You know, this is something that my family knows, that ever since, you know, my boys were little, and I told my wife this, that, you know, I'm going to pray, and I did, that I would be the one that would coach my boys in middle school and in high school. Never thought that it would happen, to be honest with you, that I would be that lucky to do it. But that was something that we prayed about, and at least I know I did. I don't know if my wife did or not, but but I told her that, not trying to be biased or anything, but, you know, me having the experience of what I've played, you know, I've played every level. I've played, you know, school ball. I've played college. I went overseas and played professional ball. So I wanted to be able to share that wealth of knowledge with them, not only at home, but also on the basketball court. So me being able to do that at Prescott was very, very beneficial because I had to learn once again about not bringing it home. And you mentioned Coach McWilliams. Bobby McWilliams is one of the coaches I called when I got the job at Prescott, because I asked for advice about how, you know, to coach your own kid. You know, just some of the trials and tribulations he had to go through and what I need to get ready for and prepare for. And so he helped me out with that, about how to go about that. And, you know, my first year over there was tough, you know, because it seemed like I was always yelling at them, you know, and we would get home and they didn't look at me as dad. They looked at me as coach.
Yeah.
And it just continued. So we finally, about 3/4 of the way through the season, we finally came to an understanding, and I talked to them, and this was a conversation we all had in the car going home, that I told them that from here on out that I would make sure that they would not hear me talk about coaching stuff once we got at home. I told them that, you know, after we left the game, you know, the ride home, I would give them advice about what we need to do, but once we got home, there's no coach. There's just dad. So one thing my boys do now, they do not call me dad when we're in the gym. Mm-hmm. And that's not just when we have games. That's also when we have workouts. They do not call me that word when we're in the gym. So that right there just, you know, kind of leads their mind to knowing that, hey, he's my coach now. He's my coach. But when we leave here, as soon as we get in the truck going home, they don't call me coach. They call me dad.
We're talking with head basketball coach Josh Hurd from Cookeville High School. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Local Matter Sports. This is your host again, Sam Brooks. Josh Hurd, head coach, Cookeville High School basketball. When we left for the break, Josh, we were talking about you coaching your boys in middle school and really learning how to separate the role of father and then also being the coach while you're at school.
Mm-hmm.
Having said all that, it's still got to be a very unique experience, and I've watched your boys play, and both of them are very talented.
Mm-hmm.
Being all district in the district that you play in, mm-hmm. as a freshman is something special.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you got some other kids that mm-hmm. gained some awards, and basically your team that you walked into was a younger team and a team mm-hmm. that you'd coached with and played with in AAU ball and even at middle school,
mm-hmm.
and not only at Prescott Middle School, but seeing these kids play at other schools.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had a pretty good idea going into Cookeville High School
mm-hmm.
of what you were going to have. You had some older players that you
yes.
mixed in with the younger players. And, I mean, how would you rate your first year as a coach over at Cookeville High School?
Well, you know, I think one of the biggest things that we wanted to do is just, you know, make a culture about family and just fighting for one another. You know, the culture, you know, it was there under Cookeville, but I wanted to just make it, you know, cement it just a little bit more. You know, the one things that we have on our shirts, and I got it on my shirt right now, is we have the word family written across our back. And that symbolizes that your family will always have your back. You know, so we have that on a lot of our things. And, you know, for me, it's kind of different because, you know, I literally have my family, you know, in there with my two sure. boys, you know, coaching them. But you know, the kids that I came in, you know, my first year, you know, it was, you know, six or seven seniors there, you know, my first year. And it was tough on them, you know, just having a new coach come in and it's their last year. So they're having to, you know, learn a new system and new cultural and just all of that. And they were great. They did great. You know, they didn't knock it. You know, they accepted it. They embraced it. You know, they went hard for it. And as you mentioned, you know, me bringing in those freshmen my second year, you know, that was something that I had to get, you know, everybody on board with, because, you know, I made, you know, no excuses about it. I told them that, you know, I am a coach who's going to play the best player. I don't care what grade you're in. And that was very, very evident last year, you know, of 11 of the 17 players we had on the team last year were freshmen,
mm-hmm.
you know, 11 of them. So, and majority of all those kids played, you know, I know because this year was crazy buying Letterman jackets. You know, we had to buy so many Letterman jackets because, you know, my rule is you play 1 year of varsity, you know, you get a jacket. So just having those kids come in and just understand the nature of how they have to play and how hard they have to play with each other. And as a freshman, you know, you would know, I mean, this area, that's tough, you know, in the district that we were in. Coming in as a ninth grader playing against, you know, juniors and seniors who are about to go to college and play basketball. Mm-hmm. But they did well, you know, and now those individuals, you know, those kids are sophomores now. And, you know, we just had our district meeting today, you know, in Green Hill High School. And, you know, it's funny that, you know, all those coaches know about all those sophomores. You know, that's what they talked about. They, you know, they knew what they did last year and eager to see them play again.
There's no doubt. There's a lot of excitement. You know, the sky's the limit. And, mm-hmm. you know, you only have to go back to a few years ago to a program like White County
mm-hmm.
that went to the state championship, won the state championship, and then mm-hmm. did it again.
Yes.
You know, so it's no longer out of the ordinary. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at what Dana McWilliams has been able to do in some area coaches, especially on the girls' side,
mm-hmm.
and even on the guys' side in the single A and, mm-hmm. and double A in this area. And I mean, we're closing the gap
yes.
big time. And for Cookeville, and I played at Cookeville, it's always been a situation where we've had, you know, to play down Murfreesboro.
Uh-huh.
District's changed a little bit as time has mm-hmm. gone on, but, you know, you're getting the absolute best
mm-hmm.
night in, night out mm-hmm. in your regular games, mm-hmm. not to mention when you get to the district and region. So the future is definitely bright with the young core that you got and growing mm-hmm. them. As a coach, you got to be real careful in guaranteeing they're on the right path.
Because mm-hmm.
I know the gold ball, you know, that's the goal. That's yes. the goal for everybody.
Yes, sir.
But I think it's a goal that you're really starting to familiarize yourself with.
Yes, and, you know, it's funny you say that. You know, on all of my communications with my players and parents, you know, I have the hashtag gold ball thinking on the end of everything. When I meet with the parents at the beginning of the year and the players at the beginning of the year, I tell them that, you know, my thought process is I'm on that gold ball thinking path. And I tell them this may be totally different than what you're used to. You know, whatever middle school you came from or your last, you know, whatever it may be, you know, we have to do everything perfect. You know, we have to do everything hard. We have to do everything with intention of getting the best effort out of, you know, what we're doing. And that was a big, you know, big change for some of the kids of just how disciplined I was on that one point. But the kids have bought in, you know. They know that they have to do their job on that basketball court and off the court. But as you said, you know, we've got championship culture just blossoming up and in Upper Cumberland and Cookeville, you know, they want to be a part of that, you know. So not just basketball, but every sport, you know, and that's something that is that just needs to definitely just continue to grow, you know, in every kid that we have out there.
We're talking to Coach Josh Hurd from Cookeville High School, head basketball coach. And, you know, I'll say this. You talked to Roy Whitehead, and I really need to get him in here and mm-hmm. talk about that experience. I brought Todd Hess in here, and we've had discussions on it. When those kids were sophomores, the jolly, you know, mm-hmm. dribble, if he would have said, you know, I think we can win this thing with these guys. If he'd said that when they were sophomores, people would have thought he's crazy. Because
yeah.
I guarantee you there's not many
yep.
in White County at that time that would have believed they mm-hmm. would have won a state championship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's obtainable.
Exactly.
You just have to believe. And you mentioned the thing that really sticks out to me as a former coach. It's about that culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the kids believe they can do it and you got the talent, and sometimes you got to have the role players.
Exactly.
You know, that's exactly what they had. They probably didn't have the best talent in the state of Tennessee mm-hmm. those years they won,
mm-hmm.
but they played well together.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And that culture was relevant and evident in everything they did, and that's what you're building.
Yeah. And that's what we have. You know, we have more than just five players. You know, we have 20 kids that understand what it's going to take. The kids are doing conditioning now and you know, working out now, and they've had their eyes open about what we need to do and how hard we have to go. And, you know, and it is a culture shock for some of them. But, you know, when you have those leaders, like, you know, we have Wendell Oakley there, you know, he's the one senior that we have that was returning from the team last year. The other senior we have is DJ Potts Hurd, which is a transfer kid from Atlanta, you know, those guys want to win. And when you have seniors that really, really want to win and they make sure that no other kids, you know, slacks off, that's big. But even still, you know, it's not just the players, you know, it's the coaches, you know, it's the parents, it is the school. They all have to buy into this goal ball and this way of thinking of winning and just doing the things that are, that needs to happen, you know, for those kids to be in a right situation to win.
Coach, while you're doing that, I know the winning is very important to you and it has been, but you're also building character in young men and getting them ready, mm-hmm. you know, for what their future is going to be. Mm-hmm. And winning's great, and mm-hmm. it's definitely a huge part of the equation. Mm-hmm. But I know when we've talked before, I know you have a lot of concern on creating a situation where they're going to be good family guys.
Yes.
You know, and they're going to be accountable for what they do in their future. How important is that to your program?
Character is very, very big. You know, I tell the kids all the time, you know, and you know, after meetings and all that, you know, that I check their grades. I make sure every teacher that they have in class and understand that they're a basketball player and they can email me at any time. And one thing that, you know, I've done in the past was, you know, if a teacher comes to me without the player knowing and lets me know that, you know, hey, this kid right here did a great job in class, coach, you know, he did a great job, you know, we will reward them. Because that's what you want. That's what you want. You know, you want those kids to be individuals that, you know, people in the community want to be around. One real world point, I try to make it, you know, visible for our kids that I say this all the time. You know, I tell them, you know, if they ever have some doubts about, you know, why they're on a team, about how they have to act, you know, on and off the court, just to walk into Walmart, okay? Walk to the clothing section and go to the sports section, and they will see Cookeville High School paraphernalia being sold, and people are buying that to wear. And I tell the kids, I said, you don't have to buy this. You earn this. You earn what the people in Cookeville are going out and buying. I said, that alone should push you to be someone that they want their kids to be, or they want their kids to be around, because, you know, you are Cookeville. You are Cookeville basketball. So the way people look at you outside the court and your character, that's super big, you know. And it is so funny that you brought this up, because, as I said, we came from our district meeting today, and the two seniors rode in the van with me. And this came up between the Wendell Oakley. He made the statement that, you know, we've had some good teams in the past, but, you know, the character was in question. And we talked for about 5 or 10 minutes, and I told him, I said, that's exactly why winning is not just on the court. I said, you've got to have people that's going to win off the court. You know, their character and their state of mind have got to be also on that goal ball thinking. Not so much winning championships on the court, but just being a great role model for people to look up to. And I told him, you know, once everybody is that way on our team, you have a team that is goal ball character kids, and you will win. You're going to win some games, you know, just because of the nature of your well-being and your state of mind.
Can't wait to get out there and watch you guys play. I don't know how long it's been since I've been to a Cookeville High basketball game, but I'll be there.
We need everybody out there. You know, our schedule in November is pretty tough and pretty outrageous. You know, we have some kids that are ESPN caliber kids coming in from Knox Catholic playing. Yeah. So we're going to need everybody in Cookeville there to help us out.
That'd be awesome. That'd be good. That good competition is good for you.
Yes, sir.
Well, thanks a lot, Coach. We'll talk to you soon, and good luck this season.
Thank you.